Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Oh, here, let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
Do you not have any headphones?
No, they're back.
They're back?
Yeah.
And the music.
Yes.
It just took my magical voice.
All right.
My voice comes on and your headphones start working again. It's amazing.
It starts working right.
Welcome to episode 68.
68. Okay.
Of the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. I am here with producer Gary. And my best friend, Haas.
We got everybody today.
And my friend, Stephanie, is here.
Say
hi.
Here. Hi.
And we have a guest in studio that's going to be jumping in with us here in a little bit.
Yep.
But hooray. First of all, how was your weekend?
It was pretty low-key.
Yeah.
I kind of used this weekend to recover from my Hollywood escapades the week before.
With Axl Rose.
Yeah. So I didn't do anything Friday. No, I take that back. I went to a midnight movie Friday.
Oh, that scary one?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then, hey, you got a free shirt out of it.
Oh, is that where I got this shirt from?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
And then I just played Cards Against Humanity with friends last night. And then now I'm here.
Nice. Well, I went and saw Luke Bryan on, Friday night?
Friday night.
Yeah. I saw the shenanigans on Facebook.
Which makes the third concert for me in 3 weeks, which means I'm exhausted. Like, it takes...
Want to trade jobs?
It takes effort to... get ready for a concert when you're in your 30s, you know?
Yeah.
And the show was at Riverport, which I don't care what it's called now.
It's always
Riverport. It's always Riverport. And this was my first time ever seeing Luke Bryan. Now, Haas, you strike me as somebody who would hate country music.
I don't hate it. I think it all sounds alike.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Chris Stapleton, I don't know if you know who
he's
that
amazing.
Is.
He's amazing.
He opened for Guns N' Roses in Nashville.
Oh, how fun.
It was great. Like, it was one of those things where when I saw the bill, I was like, this is going to be weird.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
I think
Stapleton put on a great show.
I think Chris Stapleton is one of those artists that could blend in with anybody because he's just so good. He makes people listen. But we went and saw Luke Bryan. Stephanie was with me. And... I have never seen Riverport this sold out in my life.
Oh, it was madhouse.
Country is one of the only formats that still will consistently sell out.
I mean, the lawn was full, front to back, side to side, and then the back fence was just lined with standing room only people.
Well, you know what that means.
What?
If the lawn is full, South County's empty.
Pretty much. Well, because, and that was another thing, was I hadn't sat in the lawn in a long time.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
First of all, the weather was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think only if you were up in the lawn, though. I almost feel bad for the people down in the seats.
I did, too.
I bet there was no moving air down there. It was probably hot and stagnant, but
it
was gorgeous up on the lawn. We had a breeze. It was amazing.
It was great. Now, it reminded me, though, how old I am and how much I like my space.
Uh-huh.
Because at one point, I had to switch spots with Stephanie.
She was like, trade me spots. I can't do this.
I was next to this girl. It was in between Little Big Town and Luke Bryan, and it was...
Is that before Big Little Town?
No,
and Luke?
It was two couples, probably in like their 20s, a little rough looking, but she was, you know, they were talking amongst themselves, and I was listening because I'm right next to them, and it was this girl. I'm a bitch, but at least I know I'm a bitch.
Nope.
When I met him, he was like, hi, I'm Dustin. And I'm like, hi, I'm a bitch. At least people know what they're getting.
Oh, so my ex-girlfriend was there.
Yeah. At least they know what they're getting when they get me, that I'm a bitch. You don't ever have to worry about what I'm thinking. Like, and I'm like, I do not belong standing next to you. I am the wrong person to stand next to you because I will turn white trash so damn fast. It almost felt like that girl was looking for a fight. Because you could tell that her boyfriend, it was like a new thing, and she was just by the way she was talking. And number one, I hate girls like that.
Yeah.
I hate girls who are proud to be mean girls. It's just gross. And number two, I wasn't going to be her pawn that night because I'm too easy to take the bait.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I did the adult thing, and I made Stephanie stand by her.
I was proud of you for that because I could see the look on your face. You were like, I gotta move. Stephanie, switch me. Like,
there
right,
are so many times in life where I find myself holding my tongue.
Yes.
When all I want to do is pray that like a Nerf bat materializes in my head.
Yes.
So I could beat the bejesus out of someone without doing any damage.
I tell you what, though, she got hers later because she was wasted.
Wasted.
And like had to sit down and was barfing in front of her. I mean, it was
awful. Allow the bitch whisperer to yeah. explain to you how this works, because I've dated that girl a lot yeah. in my life.
Bitch whisperer, I love it.
They all talk mad game about how much of a bitch they are until they reach that critical drunk point.
Yeah.
Right before that, you enter the woo girl stage.
Woo!
Yep.
Then they go over the hill, and it is a rapid descent into just a blob on the floor.
Yes. I am never afraid of somebody who tells me how tough they are.
Yeah.
It's the quiet ones.
Yeah. If they have to tell you about how tough they are, they're not tough.
They're not tough. Yeah. So, yeah. So I sat next to that girl. Then I moved because... And then, like, a drunk guy fell into me at one point.
Yep.
And, like, literally, like... And he was going downhill. Like, he ran into me pretty good.
He had momentum. Good.
Yes. And so it was me... And Stephanie and our friend Kelly and our friend Chad, it's like our little foursome of three married ladies and a single guy.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like Chad's like our brother or cousin yeah. or something.
He's one of the girls. It's fine.
Pretty much. Yeah. But he hates when we say that because he's not feminine at all.
No, I get it. No. I'm in that category with a handful yeah. of my yeah. girlfriends too.
He is. And he's actually like a good looking yeah. like single guy. And so that's why like us married ladies are not even phased. Don't give zero shits. Like
right.
it doesn't impress us because that's not why we're his friend.
Of course.
Yeah. But... two things. Number one, what the hell is wrong with Riverport's parking lot at the end of the night?
Oh, I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't park with you commoners.
No, we were in the VIP parking.
Oh, no. We thought we were. We weren't actually. We were actually right outside the VIP parking.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What did we do wrong?
We had Chad drive. That was the problem.
Here's the problem. So we all met at like Dave and Buster's
yeah.
and then went to the show in one car so that we didn't have to pay for extra parking.
Yep.
Now, do you still have to pay for parking?
Chad had because a VIP parking pass.
I believe.
That was why we were going in his car because he had the parking pass.
Okay. Because I think like 10 years ago, most of the Live Nation venues went to a service where, like, you pay more for your ticket, but now parking's free.
Really? Well, all I know is...
back when you and I were interns, we would be going to work a show and still have to pay.
Yes, and... But when you leave that parking lot, you know, they've been there 25 years.
Yes.
It is still every man for himself.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's like 2 ways out, and that's
there's
it.
Not
it's
a single... parking guard. Nope. Like, how many fist fights do you think have been in that parking lot?
Oh, lots.
And fender benders and yeah,
yes.
you name it.
And so we're coming
so
out.
So many broken bottles.
We're coming out to the car at the end of the night, and none of us are drunk. We all had like a drink, I think. But yeah. no, I mean, none of us were drunk. We couldn't find the car. And it
yeah.
was funny for like 20 minutes. And then
it didn't take
that
long.
And well, it didn't take that long because it only seemed like it was that long because we started to panic
right.
because we're like, where's the car? Oh, crap.
Well,
the
and
car?
The problem is that, you know, we're like, Chad, just beep your thing. He drives like a 1997 4Runner.
Doesn't have it.
And
well,
we're like,
he's like, it works, but only if you're like right in front of the car.
Right.
So
he couldn't, yeah, he couldn't do it from like three cars away. He had to be like right on top of the car
right.
for it to work.
Right. And so that was like a pain in the butt. And then we get in the car. And I get in the back seat, and I think, like, we're going to be at Dave and Buster's in, like, 10 minutes.
No.
I think I, like...
You could have walked faster.
I may yeah. have, like, fallen asleep, because
no.
all I know is that I wake up, and it's, like, an hour later.
And you're still not at Dave
and
Buster's.
And I'm like, what happened?
No, everybody was really tired at that
yeah.
point. It was, like, midnight at that point,
we
you
were
know?
Crabby. I mean, we were hot. And we did the grown-up thing and stayed till the last song.
Yeah.
Usually I'm an old lady and I leave early.
I was
early.
Just going to say, the biggest change for me between young concert goer and old concert
yeah.
goer is I remember the days of festivals where you're like, all right, I'm getting early and tailgating.
Yes.
Doors open at noon. I don't dare think about leaving before the last encore.
Right.
And now I'm like, all right, well, the band I want to see goes on at 6, so I can get there at 5.
Oh, and
they're done by 8:30. I can be... at home in bed by 10.
Well, they didn't play Kelly's favorite song until the very end. So
right.
she's like, we have to stay for the song. And we were fine with it. You
yeah.
know, we weren't mad about it. So
that
it was fine.
And I download every set list before I go to a concert so I can schedule a pee break because I have no bladder. He skipped my pee break.
Oh.
He had a whole like set of covers that he was going to do. And he skipped over 3 songs. And I'm like, shit. So we're in the car. I'm about to pee my pants. We are hot. We are sweaty. We are tired. We are all mm-hmm. in our late 30s. We have shit to do the next day. Stephanie's yelling at Chad. She's like, will you just pick a song on the radio and leave it? And
right.
I have a thing with it, though. I hate, like, song skippers. He'd play, like, up to, like, half of the chorus and be like, and change it.
That's exactly.
And change it. I'm like, will you
that
stop?
That is an ADD, like, an ADD person's brain through and through, because that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice he was doing it.
Yeah.
That's why I hate hip-hop concerts, because that's what they do live.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Or like DJs do that, they'll
uh-huh.
play little bits of something. Like, play the whole song.
Right.
Yes. But the concert was great, and all I kept thinking, like, when I was watching Luke Bryan, and because I love...
Man, those pants are tight.
No, well, I love country music.
Every country dude wears pants two sizes too small.
Luke's aren't bad.
They were, yeah, I mean, they were fitted. I wouldn't say
they were
tight.
Trust me, we had plenty of camera crotch shots to know exactly how his...
camera crotch shots.
I mean, like, under his crotch, mm-hmm. shooting up at the junk. Because that was when the drunk guy ran into me, and I missed the first one.
I know, I'm like, you missed it.
Did he make any comments about the sign language lady?
No.
Was there one?
There always is.
Oh.
And it's always like 50-50 on if the artist like recognizes that she's there and makes a comment
the
about it.
The best sign language. So I was actually certified in ASL for a long time. My first job out of college was a sign language interpreter. I've lost a lot of it because I don't do that anymore. However, the best ASL interpreter I ever saw was at Snoop Dogg. It was, I mean, amazing to watch this woman like... grabbing her private parts and flipping off the... Like, it was...
That's amazing.
Right, because that's a awesome. Lot of those signs are, like, what they are. Yep. And
Rob Zombie made fun of her. Well, not made fun of her.
Yeah.
But, like, at one
tried
point...
Tried to get her to say bad stuff.
No, like, at one point he was like, lady, I don't know what you're doing, but there's no way that... He, like, he's like, there's someone like this. He goes, there's no way that this means guitar solo.
It does. If you go like this, that's a guitar solo. But anyway, Luke Bryan, watching him on stage and seeing all the people there... I thought, you know, like, he's a good-looking guy, but he's not exceptionally good-looking. And he's a good singer, but he's not
a great
crazy
singer.
Good. Like, he is such a case of right place, right time, right songs.
Of course.
Yep.
And
congratulations. You've just described the music industry.
Well, I guess that's right, because, yeah. I mean, I'm like, I love his music, and I love him, and I get why he's got such a big following.
Yep.
But compared to people like, you know, Rascal Flatts sing their butts off mm-hmm. and, you know.
Or even like Little Big Town. Like,
yes.
The singers in Little Big
Town harmonizing.
Are great singers. They're just flat out great singers.
Well, and our friend Chad pointed out that Luke Bryan's got that beaker voice.
Oh, he's like, yeah, he does.
Hey,
no,
St. Louis, so happy to be here. You know, country girl, shake it for me. So we had a good time. Oh, and actually this is going to segue into our next segment because we talked about America a lot whenever we were hanging out with Luke Bryan. So. Stick with us. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. She finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Hey, today the Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by myself.
Word.
Isn't that exciting?
I like that.
I think a lot of people...
Is it brought to you by the letter Z and number 10?
No. Did you watch Sesame Street growing up?
Who didn't?
Obviously. Did you hear they recently like fired Gordon?
Yeah,
after
I did
like
hear something like that.
90 years or something?
And they're on HBO now. What kind of shit is that?
That's stupid. I'm glad you're only cussing during my commercial and not a real client's.
Well, but it's you.
For those of you who listen to my show, you may or may not know that I also own a photography company called Kelly Mano Photography, because I'm super creative like that. Fall season for pictures is right around the corner, and I did not schedule money over the summer because I was moving, and every time somebody emailed me, I would write them back and say, I'm busy, write me back in September. And September's like, oh, tomorrow. But I thought that it would be cool to, because I love when people support my business, whether it's the radio show or the photography company, and I thought of a way to reward those who listen to both. So what is today, Gary?
Sunday.
It's the 28th. So if you book a family session with Kelly Mano Photography by Wednesday the 1st, and you say that you heard about it on the Kelly Mano Show, I'm going to give you $50 off your session, because that means you listen to the show and you want pictures by me, and that's how I feed my children and pay my mortgage. So,
all right.
Yeah, if you just go to kellymanophotography.com, you can see all my beautiful pictures there, and you can email me at kellymano@yahoo.com, and I will get you set up with a session here in September or October when all of the leaves are changing. It's coming so soon. I'm so excited.
I bought my first pumpkin spice thing today.
I already did too. I was so excited.
I'm in. I'm such a basic white bitch when it comes to pumpkin spice stuff.
All right. You're going to love my music today.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. This is the last song I played on the point.
That you played?
I asked Tommy for permission because the chorus says the record company's going to...
make me lots of money.
And everything's going to be all right.
That's awesome. Real Big Fish is in my top 10 bands all time.
They're so much fun.
They're so much fun. And they had one of those CDs that kids don't know about today that you could literally listen to beginning to end.
Absolutely.
Every song was either really good or really funny.
Yes.
And so I started loading in my music for today, and I just was not feeling the hip-hop. So we're going to go in a different
direction.
I'm all
right with 90s alternative.
I knew you would
That's kind of my
That's
wheelhouse.
Where we met. That was our wheelhouse. I need to dig up those old pictures one day, by the way.
So the Point Facebook page for Throwback Thursday or whatever had one of the pictures. You weren't in it. I don't know if you weren't at the event.
Huh.
It was all of us, minus you for some reason, outside of the American Theater for Everclear.
Yeah, I know. It was there.
It was me, Jill Manka.
Yep.
And like four, Kristen's in the picture. Aww. And like four others, but you weren't there.
I have a whole scrapbook. I mean, I know what people have seen, the one picture of you and me, but we have a bunch more.
Well, you talking about being on the lawn for Luke Bryan reminded me. There's a picture like all of us laying on top of each other.
At Pearl Jam. Well, at Pearl Jam, it was so cool because when you're an intern for The Point, you have to get there at a stupidly early time.
Yep.
And hang up banners from fence to fence.
Which get torn down in 5 minutes.
Which get torn down. But the cool thing is that the bands come out and sound check. And so I will never forget, like, just being, like, in an empty Riverport, like, watching Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam sound check. Like, we all stopped and, like, went and sat. And, like, he, like, waved to us and stuff. And it was pretty cool. It was a cool moment. So something that we have to talk about in the news this week. I know Gary's a big football fan. So I'm going to let him weigh in on this. And Stephanie and Haas, feel free to as well. So two stories. Number one is... A kiddo in Florida, you know, all the kids went back to school about 2 weeks ago, got sent home with a permission slip letting the parents know that it was their choice whether or not to have their child participate in the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, like it was like a or no, sign your name here. And then below that, I guess it was her dad or her uncle or somebody wrote, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I'm ashamed my kid goes to your school," and sent it back. Kind of along the same lines is... Colin Kaepernick, he's with the 49ers, right?
Correct.
And they're the ones that lost the Super Bowl?
Or did he win? A couple years ago.
I've never liked him. I don't like football anyway, but when I don't like football, he's exactly the kind of person I picture. And not because of this, just because I don't like him. And he looks like Squidward.
He does. He has a rather large nose.
So Colin Kaepernick has decided that, you know, he is going to not stand up for the national anthem during the entire football season. I guess this started... at a preseason game last Sunday or whenever.
Yep.
And in the age of, you know, today's technology, obviously he knew he was going to get attention for it. And
of course.
He came out and said that he is not going to stand for a country that oppresses black people. And so he's going to sit his half black ass on the bench and not stand for the national anthem.
Well, this isn't the first time that a high profile athlete has done this. I remember when I was in high school, there was an NBA player who was Muslim. Mm-hmm. And he didn't stand for the national anthem, and he would actually sit on the bench and pray. And he caught a lot of flack for that. Kaepernick does it too. I understand that you're making this stance, and it's a social commentary, and that's fine. However, how many times do athletes have to do this before they realize this isn't the avenue to make that message, and B, it's not going to work out well for you. It hasn't in the past, unless you're Muhammad Ali, and that's not a team sport.
No, it's not.
If you were playing a team sport and you're going to make this type of gesture, it's going to end badly for you. You're going to get cut, or you're going to end up riding a lot of pine, one of the two.
And I don't even feel like it's quite as much of a black and white thing as it would seem to be, because I've seen plenty of black people pissed off at him for this.
Of course.
Online. Gary, thoughts?
Well, two things. Number one, the very first thing is Colin Kaepernick's parents are white.
Yeah, no, he was raised.
Right.
Well, he's biracial, but he was raised by white parents.
Yeah, I think his mother is white and then married a white man.
Which,
after divorce.
Look, I mean, his background aside, if anyone of any color wants to make a statement about problems in this country, that's fine. That's great. My problem is more, there's a time and place for it. And I understand you have to use the platform that you're given. But the same problem I have with what Kaepernick did is why I refuse to pay money to go see U2 in concert anymore.
Yeah.
When I'm paying $300 for a ticket, shut up and play your hits.
Right. Yep.
Don't
exactly.
spend a half hour of your show lecturing me on how I need to spend more money on causes when right. you just made me spend $300 to sit in the rafters.
Because that is his job. That is his job. That is his... his, you know, professional career.
Yep.
And to me, that does, your workplace and your politics don't mix.
Agreed.
Right. That I mean, that is exactly my point, is the fact that I totally respect his right to do what he did.
I don't.
But there...
not in that
there,
avenue.
There, mm-hmm. there are many different ways. I expect the... maybe I respect the reasonings why he wanted to do this, but... there are more, less offensive ways to go about doing it.
And he's an NFL star. He has a huge platform and probably a big influence on kids. And
yes.
and he's just showing them the ass backwards way to do things. Because, you know, there's a way to put a positive message out there. And not standing for our flag has nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter movement.
I agree.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Our flag stands for this country being founded. And our principles. And if I, and you know, the Muslim guy not standing for the national anthem, I don't agree with that either.
I don't either.
If Rocky grows up and plays a session of hockey in Canada, I expect his ass to stand up for the Canadian O Canada. If he plays in Russia, I expect his ass to stand up for the Russian anthem. Does he have to sing it? Does he? No. But when you're in our country, you're American. You're playing an American game.
Well, and I agree with you. And that's one of the things that I've always found interesting is when you have athletes who say, well, I don't want to support a country that does this.
Bye.
Right, that's fine. But you don't seem to have any problem cashing checks from that country.
Exactly.
And using,
right.
And using all of the other luxuries that come with being in this country. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a two-way street. And it's not just sports. Look at entertainment. Like, one of the biggest bands of the 90s, Rage Against the Machine. Their entire catalog is about anti-American
really?
Government and everything's like, oh,
yeah,
everything
oh,
about them.
I mean, I know their few songs were on the radio, but that was it.
But it's what people need to understand is that they're lucky to live in a country that allows you the ability to decide if you want to stand for that or not.
Right, because the people saying that, well, it's their right, that's the flag, it's their right to not stand for that. Shut up. If you
they're
live
not
in a,
wrong,
if
but...
you, but they're talking in circles. What they're saying doesn't make any sense, because if you're in America, you pledge of allegiance to America. If you don't like it, then don't live in America.
Right.
Yeah.
Go. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. We're overpopulated anyway. Bye, Felicia. Nobody needs you. Like, seriously, find a better way to get your damn message across
yeah.
than to slap the face of the people who fought so hard for you to be here. And don't sit there and go, well, they fought for me so that I don't have to stand up there. Oh, shut the hell up.
Right. Yeah.
Shut up.
Perfect example of the correct way to be respectful for our country. And it's sad that it came from somebody who's not even American. Usain Bolt at the Olympics
yeah.
doing an interview
yeah.
stopped his interview to let the national anthem of the United States
yeah.
of America play. And he's from Jamaica.
It makes me really, really worried, because I'm seeing this trend with athletes and even some artists that it's no longer cool to be an American. Like, our generation was raised to be proud to be an American, and we are raising our children to be embarrassed to be American. And look, I'm not exactly thrilled with the way shit's going either, okay? Well, I'm not exactly saying things are cool right now.
Right.
Shit's got to change. But it's only going to pull us away further when we've got kids not wanting to say the Pledge of Allegiance and football players sitting on a bench during the national anthem, when it has jack shit to do with our problems.
I agree.
Anyone else differ with that? Or are you just not going to say anything because I'm so mad?
Plead the fifth.
I didn't expect to get so mad about that, but
you're not wrong. You're not wrong in your thoughts.
It's just, in this country, you're taught a couple of freaking decencies. Like,
sure.
When my kids were tardy to school the other day, because, you know, hashtag great mom, we were flying through the hallway when the pledge started. We stopped.
Yeah.
And that's what you're taught. Like, at Bush Stadium, if they start the anthem,
everyone
and if you
stops.
Hear it, you stop in the catwalk. You know? Yes. You,
yeah. No, you're not wrong. And it's, I think it has less to do with people not wanting or thinking it's uncool to be American as it is. You have people now who've never been told to follow, you know, any sort of rules in life, and everyone is, you know, you can't bruise their ego, and you can't discipline, you can't tell them no. So people just do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, and I just,
and if you tell them no, well, then you're oppressing me.
please, let's not open that door.
No, I'm not saying from a racial side. I'm just saying it's like from an individual.
No, I mean just Colin from an individual
Kaepernick
side.
With his white parents and $1 million paycheck is oppressed.
Not everybody in this world is a special little snowflake.
No, they're not. And Colin Kaepernick isn't either.
He's oppressed from socks.
Isn't he like about ready to get dropped anyway? Like, isn't his career almost over?
He's also oppressed from bad tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I think this is just his attempt at a last, like, hey, don't forget me.
Right. That's the other thing.
CFL.
Right.
American League.
You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he was the starting quarterback in a Super Bowl, would have been maybe a more appropriate time to speak out on the problems in this country.
Well, that was two years ago, and a lot's changed.
Well, life was a lot better for him 2 years ago.
He's irrelevant now.
I don't mind him standing up for the problems we have. I don't mind him supporting the Black Lives Movement matter. I don't have a problem with him because we've got a huge problem. None of us know how to fix it. And his ass sitting on the bench during the anthem is doing nothing.
Nope.
Nothing. Maybe we can get his phone number and call him.
Yeah, let's do that. That'll be good.
I can send him shit.
I was going
to
say,
Riggs. Who do we decide we needed to send some shit to?
I got a list.
We were talking about this last week.
Or a bag of dicks.
I don't want to say.
Okay. I'm all about sending a bag of dicks to a lot of people.
Right. We are going to have to put our rating on this show now.
The gummy dicks. You haven't seen those?
I know, but you can't say bag of dicks and then put a PG-13 rating on my show.
Why not? Can I say bag of penis?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll just edit all that out in post.
All right.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show. Money. Radio plays what they want you to hear. Tell me it's cool. I just don't believe it. Sell out with me. Oh, yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be.
The Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Sacred Movement in St. Charles, Missouri. So I started taking this belly dancing class. I'm at about week 4. Damn it, you're on the wrong microphone. Yes, I'm having fun.
Good, I told you.
I know, because I was so scared to go the first time, but it really is... You know, I know that Jen, the instructor, says a lot, like, that it's the new yoga. Mm. And it truly is. And I feel so good when I live that place.
See?
And not only that, I'm really learning crap. Like, I'm surprised at how much stuff I've learned.
I had a feeling you would take to it pretty easy.
Yes. And she's got a lot of classes that range from, like, during the day while the kids are at school or at night, which is great for my schedule. Mm-hmm. You get an ab workout. You get an arm workout. And you're in and out in an hour. And it is so much fun. And it's girls only. It is girl power. If you are interested in joining me in my belly dancing classes, you can head over to www.sacredmovementstudio.com. You can also call the studio at 314-398-8181. Again, that's www.sacredmovementstudio.com. Hoss, give him that phone number one more time.
314-398-8181.
I love Blink-182.
We need to go to that show.
I was just wondering if it had come up yet.
Nope. It's early September. It's soon.
I need a break from my concert going. I'm old.
Well, you can roll with me. We'll do it VIP style.
Oh, yeah. No, I would totally do that.
Okay.
Jimmy might want to go, too. I don't know
if
he was a big...
I'm sure we can make that happen.
Seriously, I love Blink. Love them. So let me know.
Rocky want to go? That seems like a Rocky concert.
No. No.
No?
No. He's more into like Stevie Wonder and Beatles. And
that's awesome.
You would be very proud. So, and a little bit of rap.
All right, well, I can see that.
Yeah, like anything he thinks Ryan Reeves listens to on his hockey playlist.
Got it.
Like he'll have me email his wife and be like, what's on Ryan's playlist? And then he'll put it on his. And I try so hard to find appropriate versions that does not always work. We should probably stop talking about that because we have a guest in the studio. Everybody, welcome Jen from Sacred Movement.
Yay! Hey,
where's my applause? There it is. Oh, it's like kids cheering.
Hooray!
So how are you, Jen?
I'm good. How are you?
So fun fact.
Yeah, let's here we go.
Jen has known Haas since you were how old?
Sixth grade.
Yeah. Okay, so you're probably going to refer to him as Chris, right? Like, you probably don't call him Haas.
I call him Christian.
You call him Christian?
That's what I know. I'm in deep dish.
Then you're in big trouble. So we are going to get to some dirt on Haas here in a minute. But first, I want to talk a little bit about your awesome studio, Sacred Movement, where I have been going now for... let's see, 4 weeks in, I think. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, what made you decide to start take belly dancing? Like, where did this even come from?
My husband is in the Navy.
Yeah.
And we were stationed in Bahrain. So I kind of...
Where's that?
It's right off of Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
So we were there for 2 years, and there's not much to do for... wives,
yeah.
Besides go shopping. And if you know anything about me, I'm not a shopper.
Yeah,
so
I'm not either.
I was sitting at home with my kid, who was like a year old, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was like, I found a belly dancing class. Do you want to go? And it took me like 2 seconds to be like, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. I'll do anything.
Well, and you and Jen kind of have the same background as far as you guys were both drill team.
Pom-pom girls.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like dancing's in the blood.
It is in my blood. And but I will tell you that it's been challenging for me because I grew up in the days of like hip-hop dancing.
Yeah.
And so... It was weird for me to be really challenged in dancing, which I have been. I feel like I'm kind of getting it, but it's learning how to move one part of your body while the other part stays still is a crazy concept.
Yeah, it's really fun too.
And that's like probably the biggest concept in belly dancing is the isolation and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you started going to a belly dancing class when you had one baby.
Yes.
And how many years ago was that?
Let's see. I was not even pregnant with my second one, and she is 12 and a half, so like 13 years
ago.
Holy
cow.
Yeah.
And so at what point, whenever you guys came back here, did you think like, hey, I'm going to turn this into a career or a job and teach it to other people?
Well, we moved back home. I'd already been taking classes for like a year, but mm-hmm. it was just like a belly dance fitness class. It wasn't anything serious.
Right.
But it was just fun. And we moved to Pensacola because my husband became a Blue Angel, and so he was with the team.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew he was cool, but I didn't know he was that cool.
Yeah.
Does he ever throw up in the plane?
Yeah.
Can
yeah,
we interview
definitely.
Him sometime?
Sure. Definitely.
What a great like profession to interview. Sweet. Well, I would have had you brought him along. Okay, go on. Your husband's a Blue Angel.
Yes. And so I had danced forever, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of just researched on a whim to see if there was belly dancing in Pensacola because
right.
it's not a city. And there was a huge belly dance community because I was thinking, well, what kind of dancing can I do that I don't need a partner because my husband is gone?
Right.
Right. And so it worked out really well. I'd already taken some, you know, belly dancing classes and lived in the Middle East. So I thought, hey, I'll just do it. And took classes for a couple of years down there. And then when I moved here, I thought, oh, I'm just going to join, you know, the people that are already doing this. But no
right.
one was doing what I wanted to do. And so I waited several years before I was like, no, I really want to do ATS, which is
right.
what I do.
And which stands for
American Tribal Style.
Right. And because belly dancing is not just a dance. It's an entire culture.
Yes.
And so not only do you learn the dances, but you learn about the cultures and why they do different things. And one of the things that's really cool about belly dancing and that every time I say I do this, people are like, what do you wear? Mm. And so when we, you know, I'm in the level one class, which is like the intro to belly dancing. And there's a lot of women in there, like maybe 8 people in there for an afternoon class. And I would say a couple of the women are in full belly dancing skirts, like they look the part. And then there's half the class, like me and some of the other girls, that I'm in my yoga pants and my T-shirt with just like this little skirt thing that you tie around and your little I should have brought my zills in here. The little what people probably know as finger symbols.
Correct.
So, no, you don't have to hang your belly out. You don't have to show up in a bra. However, Jen is so good about teaching us to relearn to love our bodies. Because if you could talk a little bit about like how we are taught as women, suck it in, tuck it in, wear your Spanx, and how you have to get that out of your brain to be a belly dancer.
Yeah, so level one is my absolute favorite thing because women come in and they're like, what do I do? What do I wear? What, you know, the right. lot of fear. And I get to watch them transform over those 6 weeks. And before I know it, they're wearing a tank top or their right. belly is out or
right.
they're, you know, starting to accept and love themselves more. And yeah, the piece about the programming, it's like we as women are taught from a very early age, don't move like that. Don't sit like that. Don't let this hang out.
Don't jiggle.
Don't jiggle. Don't roll. You know, put your Spanx on. Contain that stuff. You don't want to let everybody see what you really look like. So with belly dancing, you really have to, it's a mental and a physical exercise because you've got to cut through all of that BS.
To be able to do the moves,
yes.
you have to not think that way.
Yeah, and you have to not judge or force yourself. You have to just allow your body to move in the way that it wants to as a woman.
Right. And I, the reason I love the class is because I've never been a big fan of yoga. I love the calming aspects of yoga, but it moved too slow for me. So while everyone else is doing a tree pose, I'm counting the ceiling tiles or wanting to lick the yoga mat because I'm like, my brain just right. needs more stimulation. So I feel like in belly dancing, I get the calm meditation side of it, but it's so much faster paced because you're dancing and you're moving and it's just a beautiful blend of both. Explain to the people are the meditation that we do in the very beginning. And kind of what it means, because I just thought that was so cool.
So in the beginning of each class, we open up the class by doing what we call the gratitude meditation. And there are certain gestures that we do for, this takes what, about a minute
yeah.
or so
mm-hmm.
to honor the different aspects of the things that we're going to be doing, like the space that we're dancing in, the people that we're dancing with, ourselves, you know, the music that we're mm-hmm. going to use. And it really kind of sets the tone for the class.
Right. Like you touch your ears to like pay honor to the music. You touch the floor to pay honor to the floor you're dancing on. And then you do, what is it, for the teacher?
Yeah, at your heart for your teachers or at yeah. your forehead for your teachers. And then your heart for your ancestors. So it's just kind of like a holistic approach mm-hmm. to belly dance. Instead of just like, hey, come on in, we're going to shake
your
butt.
We're going to shake it, yeah.
yeah.
And we always open the class with that. And so for me, it's just really fun and relaxing. Hoss, have you ever tried belly dancing?
No, I haven't. And I know that there are male belly dancers, but in being around Jen as much as I have, it's a very, and I don't mean this to sound chauvinistic by any mm-hmm. means, but it's a very feminine art form.
It really
and
is.
And there's just certain things in this world that I think are okay to be for women. And this is one of them. Not
yep.
to say that I couldn't if I didn't want to, but, you know, like we used to always joke about myself and her husband back when Jen taught yoga that she needed to have a dude's yoga a class and call it broga.
They did for a while. Don't you remember like the wrestlers mm-hmm. were taking it and stuff?
But I've never done it just because A, I'm 7 foot tall and white.
I wanted
from,
to do it
from
where
the time
baby
it
head.
Gets here from the time
yeah.
what I'm supposed to do leaves my brain to uh-huh. where it gets to my feet, it gets all messed up and backwards.
That's
I
funny.
Have zero rhythm. Like I can play music, but
right.
when it comes to moving all of this, nope.
I'm not surprised by that. So tell people a little bit about like when do your next classes roll over? If somebody, because you do 6 weeks at a time, and I love that because it's not a long commitment,
right?
You know, it's not like you're signing up for 4 months of something. It is 6 weeks. So if it's not something that you're interested in, you're not stuck on a long contract. But I don't see how anybody wouldn't like this.
Right. I thought that 6 weeks was the perfect amount of time. It's not too short. It's not too long.
And like
know.
I said, I'm amazed at how much we've learned and how far we've come. And your next class rolls over, what, in 2 weeks? Do you know what date?
The week of September 19th is when the next session starts.
The week of September 19th. So they need to kind of start signing up now because it's almost September.
Yeah, already.
And everybody would sign up for the intro class, right?
Yes.
Are there any other classes that you teach there?
We have, right now we're teaching a class on Tuesday nights called Koya, which is also, it's like yoga, dance, and feminine movement. So that's a really fun combination
yeah.
to do as well. We're going to be adding some classes in the fall. I think I'm going to go take S Factor teacher training. So we'll be offering S Factor classes. And we're thinking about adding Nia as well. So
what is Nia?
It's kind of like a combination, as I understand it anyway, because I'm not a Nia teacher, of like Tai Chi and mm-hmm. yoga and Pilates, and it just kind of blends a whole bunch of things together. But all of the dance classes that we do are holistic. They're all mind, body, spirit. So,
and like it smells so good in there. Yeah. It's all like patchouli oil or something, like completely different than my normal life. Like when I'm like running in there, I'm always late. I'm ending a phone call with somebody. I'm shoving shit in my purse that's falling out.
Yep.
And then I fly in there and it's like the calming music and it mm-hmm. smells good and everybody's so warm and welcoming. And it's like I just want to kind of stay there and move in.
Awesome. That's what we want.
So it's been so much fun. And then if people do decide to come and become a belly dancer, is there a whole lot here in our local area, like in St. Louis, for them to like get involved in the community? Or do you just only do the classes and then it ends there?
No, we have a huge belly dance community here in the St. Louis area. And it's awesome because if it's not something that you know about, you just don't know
that it exists.
But we just had a 3-hour performance last night at the Mad Art Gallery. One of our local teachers
I've been there,
put on an awesome show, and we did Belly Geek Night. So she does like, you know, dork night once a year. We all get to dress up as whatever and completely dork out.
Do a Spice Girls one.
You could totally do Spice Girls. That would be fantastic.
I can be Ginger.
Why not?
You can be whatever one you want. There's a huge community.
Before we go, there's something that I think you guys touched on it briefly, but I think that Jen, you should expand on it. I think for the person who's listening and has never really gone into belly dancing, I think they have preconceived notions on what it is and what it's not. And me being around you, like, I know what you mean when you say that you teach ATS now, but do you want to explain like what that is and what it's not? Because I think a lot of people listening may be thinking, oh, she's a belly dancer, and go straight to the preconceived notion of what you're wearing and what you're doing.
So there are several styles of belly dance. The one that you typically see is what we call cabaret. I don't teach that at all. That's the sparkly costumes, the little bra, the little skirt, the little belt.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for quite some time, but it wasn't really my thing. So that's why I started teaching tribal style. And the thing that distinguishes it is, number one, we wear way more clothing.
Yeah.
Yes, our bellies are exposed, uh-huh. but we wear tops that we call cholis. We wear huge 25-yard skirts.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Really, really covered. And, you know, there's different layers or levels of that as well. But what I do is also tribal. So that means we all work together. And it's very, very bonding for women. And it is really big at building community.
I think what I might do is in class on Wednesday, see if I can make a short little Facebook video of like what we do at the end. I'll just ask all the girls if it's okay, and if any of them don't want to be a part of it, they can step out. But I think to just show my listeners, like I'll put up at kellymano.com, this is exactly what it looks like when you join.
Yeah.
And holy cow, if you want an ab workout or an arm workout, I could not hang with the Zills last week. like all we have are these finger symbols. And I'm like 5 minutes in and my arms are just shaking. Yes. And I could not hang. I had to keep like shaking them out and resting.
And that's the thing, like, as a guy, I hate like just going and working out. I hate running.
Right.
Because I've always been the tall, big guy who's slow.
Yeah.
But I'll go play sports for 4 hours.
Yes.
And not think about the fact that I'm running.
Yes. Because
I'm doing something.
Yes.
And that's kind of like, if you're looking at this from a workout standpoint, it beats going to the gym and going, I got to do 400 sit-ups.
It feels like I do 400 sit-ups.
Yeah,
but like I go to the class and I'm sore the next day.
Yep. But you're not thinking about that because you're doing something that's engaging your entire being.
Yes.
And it's entertaining.
I tell people all the time, you know, you get a workout, you get to meet new people, you get to learn a new skill, you get to dress in sparkly mm-hmm. costumes.
Yes.
You get to, you know, participate in these fun events. Who yep. wouldn't want that?
And yeah. I see a lot of girls coming with their friends. Like, I even brought my friend to the first class. I'm like, I'm not doing the first one by myself, but there's some other girls in the class that have, you know.
There's always somebody who's, I drag my friend, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Right. But that's what girls do, mm-hmm. you know, and then we end up falling in love with it. So it has been so fun. I hope that if you go to kellymano.com later today, we will link to your website, which is www.sacredmovementstudio.com.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add? And will you stick around and hang out with us another segment and tell us bad things about Haas?
Oh,
yeah, great. Totally.
So yeah, if you want to join me in belly dancing classes, you can call Jen at 314-398-8181. Do you prefer late night heavy breathers for the phone calls? Or
No, that's not preferred, definitely.
Okay, sorry guys.
Does that mean I have to stop?
It's 314, or wait, 314-398-8184.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm fired. Damn it. We'll blame Gary.
All these 3 weeks of people calling the number, somebody's like, why do people keep calling me about belly dancing?
Oh, we are a well-oiled machine over here. 314-398-8184. And like I said, I take the classes. It is so much fun. And if you go to the website, and not the wrong phone number, Jen will hook you up with the level one class. So,
absolutely.
All right, well, stick around. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Ultimate Party Entertainment since 1994. Our good friend Addison specializes in event decor, lighting, draping, furniture, uplighting, basically all of your corporate audiovisual needs for a business meeting of any and all sizes. Back in the day, as a photographer, I threw these huge conferences called shot parties. What I wouldn't have given to have somebody like Addison and Ultimate Party Entertainment to take half of that weight off of my shoulders and handle all of the audiovisual needs. If you are trying to get your message seen and heard, maybe it's an entertainment hour or a cocktail reception, a dinner event, make sure you always mention the Kelly Mano Show and receive a 10% discount on your service. You can call Addison at 314. Are you trying to say something? No? Okay. At 314-920-7789. Again, that's 920-7789. If you have a business and you are throwing a party or a gathering and you need some kick-ass audiovisual entertainment, call Addison at 314-920-7789. You're so excited today.
I love this song.
Thanks for all you've
shown us. This is how we feel. Come sit next to me, pour yourself some tea, just like Grandma made when... This is another, like, top five band.
Old Weezer, yes.
Are we what? No, we're not on Ambien.
I would say 1999 is, like, the line you draw on this band.
Yes. I kind of like Beverly Hills. Was that after?
That was after, but, like, that's, like, the... That and Island in the Sun are like the exception to the rule.
Yeah. How sweet is my dog that just lays at my feet every... Like, this... Like, I cannot go anywhere in this house without Molly being with me.
Molly's pretty awesome.
Even though she hates Gary, she, like, forgoes that to be part of the show.
Yeah.
So, we mentioned earlier that Jen has known Haas since, like, forever. Because you guys are boyfriend and girlfriend, right? When you were, like, kids?
For a very brief moment in time, yes.
Well, see, Haas makes it seem like it was a long time. Was this not, like, a long relationship?
It was a year.
That's a long time for high school kids.
I guess for high school it is, yeah.
Okay, your first kiss with Haas, was it really, really weird because he's so tall and he had to come down like 90 feet to kiss you?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I can answer this.
It must not have been very memorable, Haas.
I can answer this. We actually talked about this.
Oh, was this the laying down kiss?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
I was scared to death.
I bet you were. I always joke with Haas because he's so tall, and like first kisses are so awkward anyway, like no matter what. And then if it's a 7 foot tall person, it takes like...
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It takes like 90 minutes to get down to the girl. It's like the movies where they cut back and forth of them getting closer and closer. So were you a witness to this midget in high school that constantly wanted to fight Haas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he tells this funny story about how, because he was 7 feet tall, there was this little person in the school who constantly wanted to fight him.
Yes. Yep.
So that really did happen.
That really did happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you ever there for the confrontation? Did you like stick up for him or?
I don't know if I was ever there for the confrontation, but I remember you being like, dude, he's at it again. You know, that kind of thing.
It was usually during gym.
Oh, yeah. That's when the bullies come out for sure.
And I was just like, I'm not going to fight you. There's no win in this for me.
No, because either I beat you.
Either I'm the 7 foot tall guy who just beat up a midget, or I'm the 7 foot tall guy who got beat up by a midget. Either way, I lose.
Yeah, there's really no win there. No. but what was Chris like in high school? Was he nice to everybody?
Yes.
He was nice to everybody, for sure, but he really, really thought he was awesome. So that hasn't really changed.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
What so he mean? Was conceited.
Wait, no.
What was that? I'm sorry.
He was conceited.
Was, is, and will forever be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I am not conceited.
In the best way possible.
I think
best
conceited is different than cocky. I think conceited is okay. When you cross the line to cocky, that's when you get the a-hole status.
Well, you know, in his defense, when you're 7 foot tall and you're on the basketball team, you kind of have to...
live in the moment.
Yeah.
Earn
number
the title.
One, yes, live in the moment, earn the title, and you got to have game.
Yeah. Did he have game with the ladies?
Nay.
Honey, just remember that I love you, so please be nice.
If you know anything about him, you know that he has no game with any ladies.
I am the lazy shortstop, and I fully admit it.
The lazy shortstop. Then you shouldn't play shortstop. Shortstop is for little quick people.
If the ball is hit to me, I will field it. I'm not diving to make a play when it comes to the ladies.
Why do you think Haas has not been married yet? Why do you think he's still single?
Because he has no skill with the ladies. If somebody's hitting on him, he's usually oblivious.
Right.
Unless you like grab him by the hair and, you know, whack, knock him over the head. And
that
then even
true.
Maybe he'd be like, I don't know. Does she like me?
Were you like a wingman for him, kind of, as like one of his best friends?
Not really. No.
I was a great wingman for my guy friends.
I will actually out myself here. I chased her.
Uh-huh.
She was probably one of the only girls that I can say I ever really put time and effort into.
Were you guys the same age?
Yeah. We were same class.
Well, it worked. So you guys did. So why did you guys break up?
Because he's an ass.
What'd you do?
I went to college.
Oh, okay. So nothing too,
and
nothing
he
too
was
juicy.
Big man at college. And I was like, no, no, you're not.
You're not.
Bye-bye.
Well, I went into super frat boy mode.
Yeah. It's hard to separate the college and college and high school life is so vastly different. Yeah. And then until you do it, it's hard to explain how different it is. And were you witness to his ex-girlfriend that he calls Satan?
Yes.
Okay, so I assume you're not fond of her either.
Jen was my grounding wire for all 3 years of that. And basically, you've been the person that's kept me grounded since we've met.
Right.
Now, you need somebody like that. Speaking of Satan, I saw this video that I wanted to show you guys over the weekend of this crazy woman who was engaged to a millionaire, and I guess they broke up. So they get broken up and she like hides the camera and like releases a video of him like throwing her stuff on the lawn, like typical breakup stuff. Well, then she starts accusing him of abusing her.
Nice.
And saying that he gave her a black eye and all of these different things. So then he put a hidden camera on her and look at what it captured.
All right.
You are about to witness somebody absolutely lose their mind. And we're going to put this up online at kellymano.com. So make sure you go check it out.
Okay.
Charged with stealing $2 million in jewelry from her ex-fiance. Tonight, we're learning more from him as pages and pages of court documents were released today. Scott Mitchell is suing Mary Hunt and her parents for $6 million, triple the value of
Rich
that jewelry.
In June, Hunt told us it was a setup because she called off the wedding.
Malicious.
Her attorney, Barry Cohen, described Mitchell as abusive and gave us a photo showing Hunt with a black
eye. So there's the bruises.
Mitchell's team is now responding with this video.
Here's his video.
Oh, my.
That's Mary Hunt on the bed. Mitchell's attorney says she's giving herself a black eye. Cohen disputes that.
I would agree with that.
What in the heck?
That's what psychopaths do.
Have you ever seen anything like that in your life?
Friends claim she was the abusive one in the relationship. Some of those same friends also say her attorney, Barry Cohen, and his investigators tried to intimidate them. Cohen calls those claims foolish.
It's being twisted.
So I think we always hear these stories, but I mean, if someone were to tell you that this, like, if there's a guy and a girl and she's covered in bruises, the guy looks pretty bad.
Yep.
So basically what we just watched was a video of a woman beating the shit out of herself.
I mean, I think what you just saw there was typical gold digger behavior.
I mean, really, like rich people problems. But yep. To see that video and to see her lose her mind in that way made me think of people who deal with crazy ex-girlfriends or boyfriends or even in current relationships, and how hard it must be to try to tell your side of the story when the other person is so damn crazy that, nobody would believe it.
Well, I think especially when you're in a relationship, you find ways in your own messed up psyche to justify shitty behavior.
Sure.
Because you're in love.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've all had relationships where you look back on, you're like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah,
but when you're in it, you're like, well, it's really not that bad. No, it's really that bad.
It is.
Like we were talking about before we went on the air, like, legitimately, I was told more than one time, if you love me, you'll buy this for me.
By Satan.
And I did it.
Yeah. No, that's not healthy. And then another story. I wrote down Walmart cups butt hurt or no. So what that means is that there was a post online from Walmart, and it was a lady who said, walking through my local Walmart and saw this awful sight. How discouraging in a time where suicide and being bullied is real. Shame on you, Walmart. And so here is what they're selling. Hoss, if you want to take a look at it and read what it's basically, it's a line from the movie Mean Girls.
You know what's funny is, hold on.
Pass it around.
I saw a shirt today at Kohl's that says you can sit with us.
Uh-huh.
And I almost sent a picture of it to you that said you need to buy this shirt and add a T to it.
Well, so people are losing their mind on both sides of the spectrum. So there's one side that says, you know, because we're losing kids to bullying all the time. And to, you know, you can get a shirt made or a cup made that says anything.
Yes.
But to make it so accessible, like at a place like Walmart, you know, is obviously, like, there is going to be a time when girls take that cup to school and they're mean to somebody about it. But at the same time, yeah, I'm kind of torn because here's why.
I'm done with the PC agenda. I'm done with it. Like, I don't care. It's a cup.
But I don't know if this is PC. I don't know if that's what this is. Because there's plenty of other mean girls, like, you know, sayings like, on Wednesdays we wear pink. And that line, that movie has a lot of, you know, cool lines in it. But right. I think it also depends on, because when I was in high school, I was popular. But in Granite City, we had something called burnouts. So if I would have showed up to school with that cup, I would have got my ass kicked. You know, and I don't know if all the schools have those. I don't know if some of these uppity schools have, like, the chain-smoking, flannel-wearing girls, because Holly Schaefer would have beat my ass if I wore that to school.
We did. I think every school has at least some segment of
maybe Granite City just had a few more. How would you feel if you had a kid in school and they came home crying because a bunch of kids at lunch had those cups and wouldn't let them sit there? And it could be as young as grade school. I'm not talking high school. I mean, if these are at Walmart, anybody can buy them.
I don't know if I'm qualified to speak on this topic. I mean, my initial thought is
kiddos.
Shut up and go to school.
No, I think I would probably be like, shut up and go to school. Because
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, we all have been bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a person in this world who wasn't bullied in some way, shape, or form.
But don't you think that, like, making those cups is just making it easier for the bullies? It's just one more thing in their arsenal to use?
It's a cup!
No, if somebody wants to bully, they're going to do it.
Right.
Using a cup or using whatever they can.
If they don't use the cup, they're going to use a piece of notebook paper and write it and hang a sign over the empty chair.
Would you be okay with a school if they told kids they can't bring those cups to school?
That's fine. I mean, I think it's a bit overkill, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not a fan of the cups, and you know me. I hate PC shit.
Yeah.
Hate it. But when I saw those, I don't know, maybe because I've got a kiddo starting middle school and I'm all, like, emotional. I just thought, eh.
Well,
I just don't think that's really needed. Like,
I think junior high, those 3 years of junior high are the worst, even more than high school.
I think
where, like, a lot of the bullying and stuff happens is in those years.
Yeah.
Because that's where kids start to, like, for the first time, get their own thoughts and attitudes and things like that. And that's where when I was bullied, it lasted like 3 weeks, but it was in seventh grade. It was some kid I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Who I was like, I don't even know who you are. Like, why are you pushing me after lunch? Like, what's up with this?
Right.
And since I didn't really give a reaction, he stopped. But everyone's gone through it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. I don't think I was ever necessarily bullied like by one person ever because I was nice to everybody. So the burnouts never wanted to beat me up. But I mean, there were plenty of people that were mean to me. And sometimes, a lot of times, especially for girls, it was your own friends.
Yeah.
You know,
well, definitely.
It was your own friends, your own girlfriends, your own guy friends. I mean, some of the meanest things that have ever been said to me have come out of the mouths of my best friends.
That's because you ladies are crazy.
And that's why I like guy friends better than girls.
Well, I mean, that's why I started my studio.
Yeah.
Because I was like, we can work together.
Right.
And be nice to each other and be productive.
Gary, you failed your job. Kill the fly. It's right there. It's by Hoss's head now. We have a fly in the studio. We can't get out.
All right.
I have something important to talk about before I start the spoil scales.
All right.
So we are going to be going through some changes next week. You know, women go through the change. You know what I forgot to mention? That pregnant women take your classes.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of that girl with the big old belly and they're dancing. Oh, I wish that when I was pregnant, there was something like, because then I would have hung my belly out.
Yeah.
Like,
and
forever. Like every day I would have hung it out.
They have the easiest births ever because they've been moving their hips and, their bellies in that way. And I had one student who gave birth on the day we were in class and she came back to class the following week.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you are pregnant, belly dancing is your jam, man.
Yes.
Nothing made me feel more beautiful than hanging my belly out when I was pregnant. Like, I just absolutely loved it. And so there's a class before ours where there's a pregnant lady and I'm always like smiling, watching her dance and do her thing. So
that's pretty rad.
Yeah. Squirrel. Sorry, I was going somewhere with that.
That's all right. No, that's a cool segue.
So I just wanted our listeners to know that we are making a change this week on how you hear our show.
Yep.
And so I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to say that the next show, which might be in a couple days, because we got the VMAs to watch. We might have stuff to talk about.
Oh, we got stuff to talk about either than in the VMAs.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that we're making a change in how you hear the show. And we don't know if it's going to be a smooth transition or not.
Yep.
And the only thing that I think might be affected is iTunes. So if for any reason you cannot find our show on iTunes next week, just know that the newest show is always up at kellymano.com. We embed a player there where you can play it from anywhere, your phone, your home computer, plug in your aux cord in your car. If the iTunes should happen to go down, I promise we are going to do everything in our power to get it up and running as fast as possible. But all the decisions we are making are to better the show. And make it cooler and easier and better for you. And I really can't go into specifics because it's all just business, boring stuff you don't hear anyway. But if you listen to our show on iTunes, it might be... It might be perfect. It might be seamless and you'll never notice. But knowing the show, the chances of that happening are like slim to none. So just know that you can always hear the show at kellymano.com. No matter what, no matter when, the latest show is always up at kellymano.com. And I also have the latest three always listed as well. So that's it for this week. Thank you, Hoss, Gary, Stephanie, and Jen from Sacred Movement for hanging out with me here, episode 68. That means next episode, episode 69. You know what that means? We're almost to 70.
True.
Until we see you next week. Be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Remember, be humble, but have balls. Hoss?
Oh, you took it from me. That's awesome.
Were you going to say be humble and have balls?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I'm going to do now.
We have the same brain.
Remember, it's not too late to try to win Britney Spears' VMA outfit.
Oh, how much are tickets?
It's like a $10 donation.
I think everybody should donate and try to win it for you.
All right.
Would you smell it?
I don't know if you want to go down this road.
All right.
Don't ask questions you don't want answers to,
woman.
We'll
talk to you guys next week. See you later.
The lady is a bum, she's a vixen, not a tramp. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the town, she's the best. Yes. Scary baby, ginger posh.
Thank you very much.